in which Frightful learns her ABCs. Free time was spent scraping the fur off the deer hide to get it ready for tanning. This much I knew. In order to tan hide, it has to be steeped in tannic acid. There is tannic acid in the woods and oak trees, but it took me several weeks to figure out how to get it. You need a lot of oak chips and water. Water and oak give off tannic acid. My problem was not oak or water, but getting a vessel big enough to put the deer hide in. Coming home from the stream one night, I had an inspiration. It had showered the day before, and as Frightful and I passed an old stump, I noticed that it had collected the rain. A stump! An oak stump would be perfect, I said right out loud to that pretty bird. So I felled an oak over by the gorge, burned a hole in it, carried water to it, and put my deerskin in it. I let it steep, oh, maybe 5 days before I took it out and dried it. It dried stiff as a board, and I had to chew, rub, jump on it, and twist it to get it soft. When this was done, however, I had my door. I hung it on pegs inside my entrance, and because it was bigger than it had to be, I would cut off pieces now and then when I needed them. I cut off 2 thin strips to make jesses, or leg straps, for Frightful. All good falcons wear jesses and leashes, so they can be tethered for their training. I smoked the meat I couldn't eat and stored it. I used everything I could on that animal. I even used one of its bones for a spearhead. I was tired of catching frogs by the jump-and-miss system. I made 2 sharp points and strapped them to the end of a long stick, 1 on each side, to make a kind of fork. It worked beautifully. Frogs were one of my favorite meals, and I found I could fix them many ways. However, I got to like frog soup fixed in this way. Clean, skin, and boil until tender. Add wild onions, also water lily buds, and wild carrots. Thicken with acorn flour. Serve in turtle shell. By now, my 2 pairs of pants were threadbare, and my 3 sweaters were frayed. I dreamed of a deerskin suit, and watched my herd with clothes in mind. The deer for my suit did not come easily. I rigged up a 4-figure trap under the log, and baited it with elderberries rolled into a ball. That just mushed up and didn't work. Then I remembered that deer like salt. I made a ball of hickory salt with turtle fat to hold it together. Every evening, Frightful and I, sometimes accompanied by the bear and weasel, would go to the edge of the meadow and look toward the aspen grove to see if the great log had fallen. One night, we saw 3 deer standing around it quietly, reaching toward the smell of salt. At that moment, the baron jumped at my pants leg, but got my ankle with an awful nip. I guess I had grown some. My pants and socks did not meet anymore. I screamed, and the deer fled. I chased the baron home. I had the uneasy feeling that he was laughing as he darted, flipped, buckled, and disappeared. The baron was hard to understand. What did he want from me? Occasionally, I left him bites of turtle or venison, and although he smelled the offerings, he never ate them. The catbird would get them. Most animals stick around if you feed them. But the baron did not eat anything. Yet he seemed to like me. Gradually, it occurred to me that he didn't have a mate or a family. Could he be a lonely bachelor, taking up with odd company for lack of an ordinary life? Well, whatever, the baron liked me for what I was, and I appreciated that. He was a personable little fellow. Every day I worked to train Frightful. It was a long process. I would put her on her stump with a long leash and step back a few feet with some meat in my hand. Then I would whistle. The whistle was supposed eventually to mean food to her. So I would whistle, show her the meat, and after many false flaps, she would finally fly to my hand. I would pet her and feed her. She could fly fairly well, so now I made sure that she never ate unless she flew to my fist. One day at breakfast, I whistled for Frightful. I had no food, she wasn't even hungry, but she came to me anyway. I was thrilled. She had learned a whistle meant come. I looked into her steely eyes that morning and thought I saw a gentle recognition. She puffed up her feathers as she sat on my hand. I call this a feather word. It means she is content. Now each day, I stepped farther and farther away from Frightful to make her fly greater and greater distances. One day, she flew a good 50 feet, and we packed up and went gathering seeds, bark, and tubers to celebrate. I used my oldest sweater for gathering things. It was not very convenient, and each time I filled it, I mentally designed bigger and better pockets on my deerhide suit-to-be. The summer was wonderful. There was food in abundance, and I gathered it most of the morning and stored it away in the afternoon. I could now see that my niches were not going to be big enough for the amount of food I would need for the winter, so I began burning out another tree. When the hickory nuts, walnuts, and acorns appeared, I was going to need a bin. You'd be surprised what a pile of nuts it takes to make one turtle shell full of nut meats. And not a snapping turtle shell either, just a box turtle shell. With the easy living of the summer also came a threat. Hikers and vacationers were in the woods, and more than once I pulled inside my tree, closed my deer flap door, and hid while bouncing, noisy people crossed the meadow on their way to the gorge. Apparently the gorge was a sight for those who wanted a 4-mile hike up the mountain. One morning, I heard a group arriving. I whistled for Frightful. She came promptly. We dove into the tree. It was dark inside the tree with the flap closed, and I realized that I needed a candle. I planned a lamp of a turtle shell with a deer hide wick, and as I was cutting off a piece of hide, I heard a shrill scream. The voices of the hikers became louder. I wondered if one of them had fallen into the gorge. Then I said to Frightful, "That was no cry of a human, pretty bird. I'll bet you a rabbit for dinner that our deer trap worked. And here we are stored in a tree like a nut and unable to claim our prize." We waited and waited until I couldn't be patient anymore. And I was about to put my head out the door when a man's voice said, "Look at these trees!" A woman spoke. "Harold, they're huge. How old do you think they are?" 300 years old, maybe 400, said Harold. They tramped around, actually sat on the barren's boulder, and were apparently going to have lunch when things began to happen out there, and I almost gave myself away with hysterics. "Harold, what's the matter with that weasel? It's running all over this rock." A scream. A scuttering and scraping of boots on the rocks. "He's mad!" That was the woman. "Watch it, Grace! He's coming at your feet!" They ran. By this time, I had my hand over my mouth to keep back the laughter. I snorted and choked, but they never heard me. They were in the meadow, run right out of the forest by that fiery, barren weasel. I still laugh when I think of it. It was not until dark that Frightful and I got to the deer, and a beauty it was. The rest of June was spent smoking it, tanning it, and finally starting on my deerskin suit. I made a bone needle, cut out the pants by ripping up one pair of old city pants for a pattern. I saved my city pants and burned them bit by bit to make charred cloth for the flint and steel. "Frightful," I said while sewing one afternoon. She was preening her now silver-gray, black, and white feathers. "There is no end to this. We need another deer." I can't make a blouse. We didn't get another deer until fall, so with the scraps, I made big square pockets for food gathering. One hung in front of me, and the other down my back. They were joined by straps. This device worked beautifully. Sometime in July, I finished my pants. They fit well, and were the best-looking pants I had ever seen. I was terribly proud of them. With pockets and good, tough pants, I was willing to pack home many more new foods to try. Daisies, the bark of a poplar tree that I saw a squirrel eating, and puffballs. They are mushrooms, the only ones I felt were safe to eat. And even at that, I kept waiting to die the first night I ate them. I didn't, so I enjoyed them from that night on. They are wonderful. Mushrooms are dangerous, and I would not suggest that one eat them from the forest. The mushroom expert at the botanical gardens told me that. He said even he didn't eat wild ones. The inner bark of the poplar tree tasted like wheat kernels, and so I dried as much as I could and powdered it into flour. It was tedious work, and in August, when the acorns were ready, I found that they made better flour and were much easier to handle. I would bake the acorns in the fire and grind them between stones. This was tedious work, too, but now that I had a home and smoked venison and did not have to hunt food every minute, I could do things like make flour. I would simply add spring water to the flour and bake this on a piece of tin. When done, I had the best pancakes ever. They were flat and hard, like I imagined Indian bread to be. I liked them, and would carry the leftovers in my pockets for lunch. One fine August day, I took Frightful to the meadow. I had been training her to the lure. That is, I now tied her meat on a piece of wood, covered with hide and feathers. I would throw it in the air, and she would swoop out of the sky and catch it. She was absolutely free during these maneuvers, and would fly high into the air and hover over me like a leaf. I made sure she was very hungry before I turned her loose. I wanted her back. After a few tries, she never missed the lure. Such marksmanship thrilled me. Bird and lure would drop to the earth. I would run over, grab her jesses, and we would sit on the big boulder in the meadow while she ate. Those were nice evenings. The finest was the night I wrote this. Frightful caught her first prey. She is now a trained falcon. It was only a sparrow, but we are on our way. It happened unexpectedly. Frightful was climbing into the sky, circling and waiting for the lure, when I stepped forward and scared a sparrow. The sparrow flew across the meadow. Out of the sky came a black streak. I've never seen anything drop so fast. With a great backwatering of wings, Frightful broke her fall and at the same time seized the sparrow. I took it away from her and gave her the lure. That sounds mean, but if she gets in the habit of eating what she catches, she will go wild.